I to greet you in Jesus' name. Welcome to each one here this morning. I trust that you have come this morning to allow God to speak to you. And trust that is the desire for each one of us here this morning. Just thinking about some of the things that were shared this morning already in thinking about bringing honor to God, and you know, the call that was mentioned to honor our parents, and you know, when we're obedient to God, that we bring honor to God, and so many different people when we do that. But you know, the challenge comes in when we do these things and we know, we feel like our life is bringing honor to God, but we find opposition. When we find, you know, we hear things taking place that maybe, you know, we don't feel appreciated, or, you know, we also, you know, God speaks into that in what we should be doing. And I'm just, you know, I think that verse was mentioned recently there in Romans chapter 12. You know, we are called to live our lives and basically, you know, be a living sacrifice. And so, you know, that's a pretty high calling for each one of us. This morning, like to just speak about why we are here, and I think it's probably not anything new, but it's something that I need to be reminded of. And when I look at my own doings and how easy it is for me to get distracted and lose sight of what, you know, my calling is or my mission. And so just like to remind us that we are here for a mission. God has put each one of us here. He has allowed us to come into this building, in this town, in this time frame. And he has a work for each one of us to do. And, you know, as I was pondering that in real life, and, you know, when we think about working with our hands, you know, it's obvious that some works we I don't know, in our own human way of thinking, we put more value on some areas than we do on others. And it feels like some people get more glory than others in depending what they're doing. And as I was processing that in my mind, and just, you know, go back to something that I'm familiar with. And, you know, for a living, I'm around shed building, and I see a lot of that happening. And it seems like often, you know, in that frame there, you know, the people that put these buildings together, the people that are putting the trim on and putting the finished touches to, they often get, it seems like, you know, that was their handiwork. And we often forget about the people that are behind the scenes that maybe designed the building, the person that might have, you know, cut some of the pieces out, or maybe the other person that is just, you know, cutting rafters. It's like, well, that doesn't seem like a very important job. It's just something that needs to happen. But, you know, when any one of these people fail to do their job, or they get sloppy and, you know, measurements don't matter, or You know, it's like, well, it says we need 25 rafters, but I'm only going to build 23. And, you know, very quickly we find problems. And if, you know, rafters aren't cut to the right lengths, all of a sudden this building doesn't look nice and straight. You know, the peak isn't in a nice line. The walls don't come out straight. So I guess what I'm saying in that is, you know, those people behind the scenes, when these things start happening, we realize very quickly the value that they hold. And so regardless of where we stand, what position that we hold this morning, God has called us, and He has a work for us, a mission for us, and He wants us to fulfill that mission well. He wants us to put our hearts into that and to pay attention. I'd like to just pause and just have a time of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do bow before You this morning. We just pause before You with thanksgiving. Lord, we thank You for Your love towards us. We thank You that You were willing to suffer and die, and that You rose again that we might have life. We thank You for bringing us together here this morning. And Lord, we thank You for Your word. I just pray this morning that You would again, that You would stir our hearts, and that You would, if we need renewed vision, Lord, that You would help us to find that, and that we would, Lord, that we would be a purpose-driven people, and that we would allow Your Holy Spirit to guide us, and that we would receive strength from You. I just pray, Lord, that You would give me the ability to share things that You have laid on my heart, that I could share them in a way, Lord, that would be helpful for all here. We thank You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are here for a vision, for a mission, and question that I'd like to ask ourselves is, you know, do we have our eyes on the task at hand? In things that, you know, I see happening so easily in my own life is, you know, it's easy to get distracted with the things, you know, when we're doing a task, when there's difficulty, or there's opposition, or, you know, just whatever is going on, to get distracted by these things, and we lose sight of the mission that we're, the task that we're trying to do. This morning, reasons that we are here, I believe, in this building here, is, first of all, you know, we have a desire towards the Lord. We have a desire to bring worship to Him together as a body of believers. We are part of God's family. And we desire to have our lives be more like Jesus. We want to be involved in God's work, in His ministry. And so we bring ourselves before Him, you know, to just help us remind ourselves who we are and who God is and what the mission is. We are here because God is preparing us for His work. He wants to have us in a place. He wants to teach us to become a people that, you know, is so focused on His work, the mission that He has for us, that, so to speak, that we're unstoppable. And when I think of that, you know, that's not something that is attainable in our human efforts, in our human flesh, but it has to be God-given. In John chapter 17, verse 18 is the verse that I want to look at, but I think I'm just going to back up a little bit and start reading in verse 11. And now I am, in John chapter 17, verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and thy word has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Go back to verse 18 there. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And I think that's speaking about us today. You know, as God sent Jesus here for a mission, and that mission was accomplished, He has also sent us into the world to bring truth to the people, that the people might hear and that they might believe and find hope and peace in God. In John chapter 20, verse 21 there, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you know, it talks about there, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. as we look at that, you know, as Jesus was speaking that, you know, if he was in Jerusalem when he was saying this, you know, where is our mission work to begin? You know, I think it needs to start right here at home, in our homes, in Plymouth, in Newport, in Corinna, wherever, whatever town that we find ourselves living in Bangor, or, you know, wherever we are, that doesn't matter who we are, where we live, God is calling us to reach out and to minister to there and to do it well. There's lost and hurting hearts, and God, you know, when we were lost, when we're hurting, when we're discouraged, we find hope and truth in God, and we found deliverance from those things. And so we know that God cares about us when we're in those situations. And, you know, God wants to share his love through us, you know, through our experience to the people around us. And he has chosen to use us to accomplish that. How do we make sure that our mission is a success? You know, it's easy sometimes to do something here, do something there, or, you know, we tried something and it didn't work, and so maybe we just do nothing at times. And so how do we make sure that our mission is a success? You know, and thinking about in the Army, you know, we look at, you know, maybe the Navy SEAL or, you know, people that are highly trained, and when they're given a mission, you know, if you study their tactics, you know, they know what their mission is, and they stay focused on that mission, and you know, we note too that when they take on missions, that they're not always, I mean, often maybe they're successful, but they're not always successful. Sometimes things go wrong. And what do we find them doing, you know, in a failed mission? They, unless they surrender to that task, they will probably go back and regroup and maybe find more supplies or take some more training to try to understand the situation, how they can overcome. And so when they're more prepared, they go after that mission till it's accomplished. So, you know, the question for us is how to make sure that our mission is a success. I think number one is, you know, we can't just be making stabs in the dark and it's like, well, you know, there's people here, there's people there. You know, we know what our mission is. You know, we zero in on an individual that it's like he needs encouragement. And so right now, right here, this is my mission. And yes, there's 100 other people out there that are hurting. And if we, you know, take that approach, we will, you know, we will look at the situation and say, you know, I don't have what it takes. But right now the mission is there's this one person here that God has placed before me, and he has given me an opportunity to share, to encourage, to instruct, or maybe to point out, you know, it's like, you know, the path that you're on is going to lead you to destruction. And are you sure you want to be on that path? And so, you know, to be mission focused on individuals. And number two is not giving up on our mission when we face difficulties, or, you know, when things don't go the way that we thought that they should. You know, as a human being, you know, we often paint pictures in our minds of, I'm going to do this, and we sort of have in our minds often it's like, well, if I do this and this and this, you know, this should be the outcome. And then when it doesn't play out that way, it's easy for us to get discouraged. But rather, you know, rather when it doesn't come together, we need to find ourselves coming back to God and regrouping and asking God to give us strength or wisdom, or, you know, sometimes it's just interceding on the behalf of the people that have hard hearts and can't hear God's voice. Looking in God's Word and just seeing the call that was placed on different people and the mission that was given to them. And, you know, it's when I look at some of these, it seems like it's easy to overlook. You know, we're looking for the big and the exciting things that happen that everybody can see. And that's, you know, that's often where we put our focus on. But I just like to point out in different things that are wonderful things, but it's, you know, just one task. In Luke chapter 1, you know, we read that chapter there. Zacharias was given a message for the mission that his wife was to have. And that was, she was going to have a child. And it was a special work. But, you know, and sometimes we might look and it's like, well, it's one child. It's you know, no, I mean, everybody has children. You know, it's just this one, you know, one thing. But, you know, in this case, this child had a special work. And so when we look at that, you know, the mother of this child had her work cut out. You know, not only did she have to bear him and bring him into this life, but she had a responsibility to raise this child, to teach him about God, to prepare him for the work that he was going to do. What if Elizabeth would have said that, you know, it's not a very big, important job. You know, I'm busy doing some hobbies that I like to do, and I like to, you know, spend a lot of time in town and just do things that I enjoy to do, and neglected her duty. You know, obviously that didn't take place. But she took, I believe, her mission seriously and did her part. And God's work was accomplished. In Luke chapter 1, in the end of the chapter there, Mary also had an encounter with an angel and was told what her mission would be. And, you know, under the situation of not being married and told that she was going to bring forth Jesus, you know, that seemed like an impossible task. But God revealed to her through an angel that, you know, how that was going to take place. In Genesis chapter 22, we read that chapter, we see Abraham there with his promised son, his son that he loved. You know, he was told what he needed to do there and was told God was testing him to see, you know, whether he really trusted him, whether he feared him and loved God with his whole heart. And he was told that he needed to go on a trip with his son, and he was asked to give up his son. And we know how the story came together there, in that God, you know, provided a sacrifice there for Abraham and spared his son. But we see the story there is, you know, we see obedience. And we see entrusting his child to God. And even though when he didn't understand, when he didn't see, you know, the outcome of that, he had a mission there, and he was willing to surrender his life, his plans to God, and allow God to have his way. And so, you know, as we look at those accounts there, you know, that hits home to, I believe, every one of us here, you know, a work that we maybe sometimes overlook. And as our children, you know, there's times that, you know, we just need to give them to the Lord and know that he has a plan and know that he's going to protect, he's going to provide, and just trust in that. And, you know, when we do that, what peace that brings, because, you know, it just releases us from, it's like, yeah, God is bigger than me, and he's going to have his way. In Exodus chapter 3, we see Moses, you know, he had this encounter in the wilderness, I believe, with a burning bush that wasn't being consumed. But God got his attention and gave him a message. You know, I want you to go and bring hope to my people, the nation of Israel. You know, they're in slavery and in bondage, and you know, they're a hurting people, and I want you to go and bring deliverance to them. And you know, years before, Moses had been there, and he's like, well, you know, the last time I tried, it didn't work out so well for me. And so he you know, I had to flee for my life, and it didn't, you know, it didn't come together. But Moses had agreed to go back, and if we read that account, we can get a lot more detail there. But obviously, for Moses to fulfill that, he had to keep that mission. He had to keep his work in the forefront, because he had plenty of obstacles to, you know, that he had to dodge, things that came against him. And obviously we see, you know, we see God's hand at work, and we see the enemy of our soul at work and was trying to, you know, kill that. But because of Moses just keeping, you know, continuing on, you know, it's like, well, you know, after all these things happen and nothing happens, you know, how easy is it for us to get discouraged We lose sight of the promise or the mission that God has given us. When we look at the book of Esther and we look at the life that Esther had, you know, she was very instrumental in saving her people. But as you read that book, it doesn't seem like Esther necessarily knew what her mission was. She was doing what she was new to do, what she was told to do. And there came a time that, you know, she knew she needed to come before the king, but she wasn't invited to come into the king, which, you know, in her role, I believe that was a risky move. But she felt called to do that. And she obviously knew that that was what she was supposed to do. And she came to him in inviting him to, to her house, maybe. I forget the details there. But she had a message that she wanted to give to him. And so we see that, you know, there again, someone, you know, living life, and there came a time, you know, the mission, what she was called to do, she was ready. And she did that, you know, in spite of putting her life at risk. And so we see a clear vision. We turn to Acts. Go to Acts chapter 9. And we look at this chapter here, and we know that this, you know, this account here is where Paul started, you know, his mission, his work for God. In the beginning of the chapter here, we see Saul, you know, he was seeking out Christians, and he was on a mission, and his work was to destroy the people that didn't believe the way he believed, that were coming against his beliefs. And his mission there was to persecute them and to eliminate them. And I'm assuming that in, you know, the status that Saul was here, that he was, you know, he was receiving a lot of glory and honor. He was the man. You know, he was, you know, well-liked person. But we see here that in verse 4, that God got a hold of Saul and got his attention The words that came to Saul there is, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." We see after this experience, as he walked through this chapter here, he came to know the Lord, and he started serving the true God. And we see that after his Damascus experience, that his life changed. He started preaching and inviting people to Jesus, helping them to find hope and find healing from their hurts. Instead of killing people who opposed his views, he started teaching them and showing them a better way. bringing honor to God. You know, Paul, before this experience, before this time frame, he was probably used to receiving praise and honor from the people. And now that he was serving God and living for him and, you know, not being destructive like he was in the past, bringing hope to the people, his life changed. He started being persecuted and people hated him and were, if we read through that chapter, we see very quickly that people were out for his life. Why? Because he was showing people Jesus and bringing honor to God, and the people, you know, it comes against our human nature, and you know, it puts God in control and not us. Paul was now a spirit-filled person doing the work of God. You know, when we think about a spirit-filled person, you know, what do we think about? You know, how do we explain that? And, you know, I think of a person that has the character of Jesus. In Paul, we see him being delivered from the fear of man, not needing to please man anymore, but rather his most important thing was to bring honor and glory to God and help people find freedom. You know, a spirit-filled person, you know, we think of being emptied of our self-seeking ambitions. You know, something, you know, self is not on the top of the list. And obviously we see that in Paul's life. You know, his life, you know, he wasn't concerned that people wanted to kill him, but he was concerned that he did God's will. When people were seeking him out, you know, that wanted to kill him. We see him valuing his life and trying to get away from those situations and fleeing for to save his life. Question for us, you know, as we look at those different accounts, are we staying true to our call, you know, the mission work that God has placed before us? God has a work for each one of us, and sometimes, you know, sometimes that work, you know, gets maybe a little foggy in our minds when, you know, with the world going around and things happening, and there's lots to do. There's lots of things happening in life that will take our attention, that will keep us busy. But I think we need to be aware that there is an enemy of our soul that would like to distract us and will distract us if we allow him to, and does at times. And when we see our lives and we see that happening, you know, we need to see that and maybe repent of those things and become diligent workers and focus on the mission at hand. You know, and as we look at families, you know, as fathers, you know, we have a work and we have a responsibility and it is our mission as mothers. You know, you have a mission in the home, in if God has blessed you with children, whether it's one or whether it's half a dozen or whatever the number might be, it is an important job. And God has entrusted those children into our hands. And, you know, we have an opportunity to give them good direction, to guide their hearts towards God. You know, the world is out there wanting to devour these young hearts, to pull them into the things of the world. And we as parents have an opportunity to speak truth into their lives, to show them the right way. Sons and daughters, you also have a mission. And I think that was spoken of this morning earlier. You know, there's lots that God has placed before you. You know, it's just, you need to grab a hold of those things and stay focused. You know, it's easy to look around us when we're, doesn't really matter what age we are, but somehow, you know, when we look, we're in the shoes that we are, and it's like, well, this is in my way, and that's a problem, and we're distracted by all these different things, and we lose sight of God's work. And you know, we have so many opportunities to allow our lives to have good influence in the people around us. And it's so easy for us to lose sight of that because of whatever the reason is. You know, I mean, there's so many different things that we can blame that have distracted us. And let's not use the blame game to clear our slate, so to say, but rather let's take responsibility. You know, I think that, you know, God wants to work in my life, and He has called me to do something, and let's stay focused on that. You know, we know what God has called us to do, and you know, if we look around us and it's like, well, this person's doing that and that person's doing this, and we can go on and on. And very quickly, you know, our mission will, our focus will become blurred, and we don't even know what that is anymore. So, is our vision clear? Or have we allowed things into our lives that have made us lose sight of our mission? You know, worldly events, you know, rumors of war, you know, conflict, persecutions. In Mark chapter 9, we go down to verse 33 here, and we see Jesus speaking here, and he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way?" You know, we see here his disciples being, you know, they're being distracted here, but they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. We just see in these couple of verses here, we're reminded again, you know, we see here how quickly we can get distracted. And Jesus just speaks into the situation here and says that, you know, he brings a child into the picture. And, you know, that we're to receive such. And I think he paints a picture here, you know, that we're to be like little children. So easy to get pulled into the very things that, you know, the disciples were disputing among themselves there. You know, they had a disagreement, or one was trying to be better than the other. And, you know, we allow those things to, we get sucked into them. And that's the only thing that we can, you know, when we do that, it's the only thing that we can hear and see. And when we're there, it's not a good spot, you know. It's hard to hear from God. It's hard to have our focus on the work that God has given us. And so if we find ourselves in these things, you know, let's repent of those things and give them to God and allow God to have his way. In closing here, just some thoughts that, you know, some encouragement that I'd like to leave with us here is God has placed you here this morning in this building in Plymouth, Maine, and it's 2021, and we're surrounded by people in our work, in our homes, in our towns, all kinds of different people that we meet. And God has put us here to serve, to minister to these people. In our work, you know, you have to deal with people like myself in times, you know, and I'm, you know, my desire is to serve God, to bring honor and glory to him, but I'm Emmanuel King, and, you know, there's times that I lose sight of, you know, who I should be, and so those are things that we have to deal with. You know, we have the opportunity or the privilege of dealing with the difficult customers in our lives. We are blessed to deal with, you know, these easy, likable customers in our work. You know, we are in this time, we have the privilege of living under the government that is over us. And so God has placed us here. You know, I don't believe that God made a mistake when he chose us to be here in this time frame with whatever the difficulties are that are coming against us or whatever the blessings are. There is a work to do. Are we ready? Are we willing? Or are we looking at our surroundings and saying, it's like, well, you know, there's too much. It's too hard. I don't have what it takes. I'd like for us to just consider that we don't have what it takes, but we serve a God that wants to empower us, that will empower us to live only one day at a time. He will give us the ability. He will strengthen us. And I'd like to, you know, as I was thinking about that, you know, it's a little bit like if I have some candy and I invite, and I don't have it here, but if I invited one of the young boys to come up here and it's like, hey, I have 3 pieces of candy. Can you go give it to the people? Make sure they all get a piece. And it's like, what do you mean? There's only 3 pieces. There's 50 people here. It'll never reach around. And, you know, at times, maybe that's how I look at life. You know, I see all these needs, and it's like, I only have 3 pieces, and it's like, well, it's not going to reach around, so I'm just going to keep it for myself. And, you know, that's where we make the mistake. That's where I make the mistake. God wants us to go give those, and then we come back and he gives us more. And so, you know, we just let go and we just serve and allow God to have his way. May the Lord bless.